Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFA Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just reminder how to join us today. We talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.thetalkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. Either way, you will find us. And of course, we also co-broadcast over on twitch.tv. That's not so glitchy as TalkShoe can be. And you can also join the chat room over there. We always have they have a great discussion. Sometimes I chime in, sometimes I don't. Tonight was one of those times when I did not. Yes, I'm recording this after said podcast. But also, of course, that wonderful podcast is a talk cast and recorded on a talk shoot. And that talk cast gets turned to a podcast with this news feed and is available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Also, a reminder, also there's many ways to contact me. One of those ways is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's the email address, sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to, you can reach me via Twitter. My accounts are there, of course, sfuoncall. Also, if you want to follow me on my personal account, that's Paul Franz, P-A-U-F-R-N-Z. You will get everything that's happening in my life. And I've Well, it's a rare thing, actually, that I share what's happening in my life. I share about Franz Games. I share about, of course, this podcast. And, of course, I love sharing about things about being Catholic and, of course, being an O's fan. Of course, also about wonderful technology. And, of course, one of those things I love listening to, which is, of course, Mac OS Ken, if you didn't follow me before. And, of course, there's Franz Games if you want to follow that one. You will actually get to see any announcements of tournaments, games, and also when it comes to both SFB Online, the FedCom Online, and of course Starfleet Warlord. All those things will be posted on that account. No update on some quick news from A to B this week. No update on Steve Patrick, but there's an update on Jean Sexton. She's actually going through some chemotherapy because she has I forget what kind of breast cancer she got. She told us, and of course, like most, you know, it was a technical term, and it's like I'm not gonna remember that, and I didn't even think about it whether I was gonna remember, because Lord knows I don't think many of you can actually remember those technical terms. If you're a doctor, yeah, I'm sure you can remember them, and I'm not sure even you probably need some practice yourself. But anyway, moving on to the Assembly on tournaments. Actually, we do have a Sapphire Star 10 tournament. It is starting. We got Andrew, I think Andrew Koch is the one who has volunteered to actually do it. And unfortunately, I hate to tell you this, there's already 16 players, so there's no signups. And as he asked me, the change the signup page like 2 days ago, and I was just slammed. So I didn't really check my email all that much in the past 2 days. Yes, that happens. And by the time I get around to actually adding it to the sign-up page, well, they've already got all the sign-ups. So, but anyhow, hopefully when they actually get that going, I'll actually post up a tree so people can at least report the games until we can find out about the wins, the losses, the good, the bad, and of course, the very ugly. Not much happening when it comes to the library, whether when it comes to SFB or the FedCom library. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, Assembly All Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's me, and actually we have a voice from the past. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Oh, well, I guess as well as can be expected nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have any plans for a talk tonight, for a topic tonight?
Oh, I got a topic, but it's not that exciting. Basically, I've been the past. I'm not sure you've been listening to any of the podcasts, but as of late, I've been going through some of the SFB rules. You know, went through the relatively, you know, quickly through the E section, C section. I've gone through the C section. I was going to go through D section, which is I started on the D section, which is the combat, but I only got through all the way through like D5 on combat. So, I know it's not thrilling stuff, but at the same time, you know, we've never actually talked about the rules of SFB, you know, and even though the rules, you know, as you know, Gary, the rules for SFB are quite large, is one way to put it. But at the same time, most of the rules that are in the actual rule book just denote the interactions between other rules and other systems. Like, is there any effect, you know, the effect of Hellbore versus ESG? Or, when you do a het, okay, what are the restrictions when you do the het? And, of course, other things are in that category too, you know, things like that. And that's why the rules are so large. So. Is there anything that you wanted to discuss? Like...
So I don't want to think things out too far, of course, but I guess just a couple of things. One is now that the Steam Deck is officially released, like, you know, for a handful of people at least.
Right.
And there's more news in terms of what its SteamOS/Linux desktop mode is like.
Right.
I was just curious as to is there a clearer sense as to whether or not the client works as is, or would there need to be any adjustments in order for it to function as? Because from what I can tell, when you have it on desktop mode, there's, I can't remember the name of it. It's like the Linux equivalent of an app store. It's like some sort of, I forget the name of it. Anyway, basically it's a one-stop shop where you can get various apps or programs, whatever, to run on your Linux computer. And the Steam Deck has that as well. So in principle, you wouldn't necessarily need to have it as a quote-unquote Steam app in order to run the client on a Steam Deck. And as I say, because if there's, like, for example, Valve themselves have released pictures of the dock that they're going to release later this year, and it's going to have the HDMI out, and it's also going to have a monitor out.
Oh, so it's going to be like a Nintendo Switch in that category. Okay.
Yeah. And so basically, if you wanted to use it as a desktop computer, then you can get the Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, or I guess even the USB keyboard and mouse with the dock, and you'd be able to use it that way. So I was just curious as to if any of that sounds like it might make it easier to get the client working on there.
Yeah, well, given that, especially if it's going to allow a keyboard connection and a regular mouse connection, a client should run fine, especially because my understanding is that it's running Arch Linux, and they're definitely the JVM will definitely run on Arch Linux. I personally have tried Arch Linux multiple times, like a VM, and failed miserably every single time. Invariably, if I try to do an update, things just go completely bonkers, and I have to do a complete reinstall of the operating system. You know, so I gave up. Then I read someplace on the websites that, you know, Arch Linux doesn't run well in the VMs. It's meant for real hardware. It's like, well, I don't have real hardware which I can just willy nilly, you know, install something on, you know, I don't have it sitting around. And I'm not about to do that, you know, on a computer that, you know, one of the main computers. Like, gotta be kidding me. So, anyhow.
Yeah. I suppose the other thing, too, would be whether or not the support for Proton on the Steam Deck would allow the old classic, which I don't think it's already classic, it's been 20 years since it released, but the old 30 Command games, the ones that were, the first 2.5 of them, the ones that were more kind of like based on the FFU.
Right.
I'd be curious, because I don't know if they're actually on Steam, but eventually you're going to be able to use, like, install other things on there. So, but I don't know whether or not you'd have to basically go as far as to install, like, dual boot Windows on there, and then what, like that. Mm. But from what I gather, the Windows version, it doesn't have all the drivers you need to operate the Steam Deck, like functionality in terms of, like, the analog sticks and the touchpads and stuff. But they're working on that. But so you can already get Windows working on it. It's just that getting to actually recognize anything is a tricky thing. Also, because the GPU, I don't think, the processing unit and so forth, like, it's not quite sure that it's there, so it's not able to actually run games just yet. So, eventually, that'll all be RNet.
Oh, understood. The one thing about actually running Windows on it, in my mind, like I said, it's not Windows. If you try to run the original Starfleet Command games, you know, I think they're pretty, the only place you can get them is GOG. You know, good old games. And even then, if I recall correctly, it won't run under like the latest version of Windows. You know, so whether it's, I doubt whoever currently owns the IP for that would actually be interested in having Starfleet, you know, making Starfleet Command available on a more modern version of Windows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if the Proton functionality is enough so that you don't need to install Windows at all and just stick with BMOS/Linux have a play on that. So, but again,
right. Oh, agreed. But the issue with, you know, the obviously with Starfleet Command itself is that it's Windows executable. So unless they redo it, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they use an engine or not. If they use a gaming engine, because remember this was back before Unity and that was the other one. That's awful. There's two major game engines. One's Unity. I forget the other one. That's awful. Jeez. Darn. Unreal. Thank you.
Well,
thank
I know that there's yeah, I was going to say, because
thank you,
I
know Chris.
There's games like XCOM and so forth. They use, I think they use Unreal Engine 4.
Yeah, remind me, when it comes to Steam Deck, is that an x86? You know? Or is it...
Yeah, it runs Arch Linux as well. It's, the specs are actually, if you want to have a, well, there's a whole bunch of tech reviews and stuff on Teardown and some of the reviews, there's at least one I saw online, and it's like about an hour long, and most of it is about the hardware, and also then about running like the actual Steam interface, but then also there's about 4 or 5 minutes where they actually show the desktop functionality, and so it seems to be fairly, it's just that, I guess, I mean, anyone who uses Linux probably thinks these are stupid questions, but I'm sure that there's things like PDF viewers and word processors and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that kind of stuff has been around for a while. So image photo editors and so on, even if they're not necessarily like the original brand ones, I mean, they still work, whatever. So, so I guess... I mean, in terms of the specs and stuff, they're pretty decent. I guess so far the reviews seem to say that the main hold of it is the battery life. Like, it's, but that's usually if you crank up the specs to the highest setting or whatever.
Right. Well,
I suppose people are kind of working on it, which you wouldn't need for stuff to come in anyway.
Yeah. Well, if you're crank up, you know, the refresh settings and things like that in the game, yeah, that's going to drain your battery like crazy. That's guy in my mind. That's the normal thing when it comes to computer. What was I thinking? But to me, the one thing that I think would be interesting to find out is, could you play a game that, okay, let's back up. Could SFB Online, the client, could that actually run in handheld mode? Does it
Well,
have?
you can bring up the desktop in handheld mode as well. So you don't have to be in the Steam interface when you're in handheld mode. So in principle, yes, it's just that the font size might be a bit small. And so I don't know if you have a way to adjust that or relatively easily, or if you need to have like a Steam Deck skin or something, if that makes sense.
Well, that's why I was trying to modernize things a little bit more. Though that is true. That is the big issue, is it not? With SFB Online. And that is that you really can't play a handheld game I'm sorry, not a handheld, a board game like SFB on the Steam Deck just because of the limited screen size. That's why I always thought it was kind of crazy that people, oh, is there like an iPhone app or an Android app for SFB Online? It's like, no. And why would you ever want to try? Because Alan, honestly, come on. What's the biggest phone these days? Is it like a 7-inch phone? That's huge. I mean, that's getting to actually not even 7 inches. I think it's like 6.5 inches. But that's getting close to a small tablet. Now, the larger tablets, yeah, I think you could do pretty well, but on a phone, in theory, you could do it, but you'd be doing a heck of a lot of scrolling, a heck of a lot of scrolling. And Lord knows, currently, actually, I have to see if you can do that, if that's possible. Yes, Iggy, there is a Barry that I normally talk to. He's not available tonight. And yeah, can the one thing that I was just thinking about was that could the SFB Online client be played in a single window? In theory, you could. Because you don't need there's the control. Game control window, that's not necessary to use the client. And in theory, you can actually have the chat portion on the bottom portion of the game board. So you get the game board, and then below it you have the chat room, chat portion. Now, obviously, there is in theory, if you can get like a telephoning app, like Skype, oh, was it TeamViewer or something like that? I forget what's one of the audio servers that people use for like playing Call of Duty and things like that. Actually, I think Call of Duty might have it
Well, they
built.
did show somebody installing Discord onto the Steam Deck. So, and the deck does allow multiple apps to run at the same time. So, I guess in principle, you could, check and see. Because again, you wouldn't necessarily have to have those things. I'm trying to think how to put it.
They don't have to be Steam.
Actually, just to double back to the actual. Yeah, they don't have to be in the Steam Deck. But also, is there a way to basically maybe have it so that you're actually basically bringing up multiple tabs So you got one tab for your SSD or shift card if it's 500.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
just a big tab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that you're not necessarily breaking up into multiple windows unless you actually
right.
have it like plugged into a monitor or
two. Yeah. That's part of the online client already. It supports basically mm-hmm. one of the tabs is the board game, the board. There's another tab which will be maybe your expendables, you know, drones, seeking web, those kind of things. Another tab which will be the SSDs that for you. The other tabs, another is the SSDs that is your opponent's. And then within that window, there are tabs for one for each of the ships that player has. Then you have, you know, another tab which is for EA. And things like that. So it already has a tab based interface. And so I think in theory, you could actually play it with a single window and go from there, because you can use, you know, of course, the mouse to move the counters, or you can use the keyboard also. Though in the case of the Steam Deck, yeah. That's the one thing I'd be interested to find out, which is in desktop mode, when it's, you know, just the device, not connected up to an external display, and without, you know, without a connected up mouse, what do the joysticks do? Is one of the joysticks?
Well, it does have those twin touch pads. I guess people have been using those to kind of like instead of a mouse. So I haven't seen that someone actually try to use it in desktop mode though, because I guess they're mainly using it like in games. But again, I guess the other thing as well is that unless you're one of the early adopters, it's probably going to be Q2 or Q3 before the bulk of people who ordered it will actually have one. So, and by then, a lot of the early adopter itis that's happening right now, because apparently Valve are doing like almost daily updates in terms of trying to tweak things and get new games working and, you know, solve issues or create new issues and then trying to solve those and so on. So I suppose it'll probably be a few months until things calm down to the point where a more kind of broader examination of this, because also even if there is like anyone out there who actually wants to use the client on the Steam Deck, and hopefully this week's one or two, it'll probably be a few months before that person will actually have the chance to buy one and then
right.
have it and then play it.
Agreed. As the moment you can put down your money and take your chances and hope you can get it.
Although apparently Gabe Newell was saying that, the head of Valve was saying that they are working on upping the production, but because it's doing quite well for them. But the only thing is that with the global supply chain issues and so forth, I mean,
right.
nobody's able to build as much devices that they want. I mean, Sony and Microsoft can't with their consoles. And I mean, this even, I don't know whether or not the prospect of a Switch Pro is being held back by the fact that even if Nintendo want the chips to build it, then maybe it's harder to get those.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the ongoing issues that are going on, like, if anything, kicks off with Taiwan, then that's the world's one of the most major semiconductor centers that's going to be affected. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Oh, I agree.
Or many other reasons too, of course. But there are other countries that are trying to build their own. Like, I think Japan is building Sony. I think I can't remember if it's Sony or some other company, but they're working together with the company in Taiwan to build a semiconductor plant in Kyushu somewhere. And I think, was it during the State of the Union, but they said that Intel is working on a semiconductor plant somewhere in Ohio or something. So I don't know if Canada is working on one either. But
yeah,
but even if you build the plants, you still need to get the rare minerals to put in them. And
right.
those are in relatively short supply as well. So.
Right. And the thing is, building a plant takes like 2 years to build a plant
mm-hmm.
for any new chips. It won't it won't help the crisis now, but it will help forestall a crisis in the future. It's like, you know, investing in certain things. For example, the gas, the oil and gas reserves that the United States has. It doesn't help us right now, but the idea is that if there's a crisis, we have reserves which we can tap into to help, help with supplies that, if we, because we don't, the United States doesn't actually produce that much oil. We have, we have, of course, stuff in Alaska, which I'm not even sure if they changed the law about that. Because I knew previously, with Alaska, my understanding was that we couldn't actually use them. We had to ship that oil off, offshore, and then bring it back or something. It was weird. Didn't quite understand that, but. Yeah, actually, that'd be interesting to find out. I was just looking at the Steam Deck website, and one of the things it mentions is Steam Chat, which is, it says access Steam Chat at the push of a button. Is that running in the background? So if you press the button for Steam Chat, will it just activate? Obviously you have to be logged in to your probably your Steam account to do Steam Chat, but is that a built-in, voice chat into the system. So even if you have something else running, that Steam chat will still be available.
Well, yeah, it does, well, I mean, I'm not too sure whether or not it's part of the how it's actually implemented, but I mean, the deck itself does there have been demonstrations of it showing multiple things going on at once. So I mean, there should be ways to get some sort of chat going, either text-based or voice chat inside or whatever.
Yeah, because the.
But yeah, if you go onto the Steam Deck, the official site, click under hardware, you can scroll down. They show a picture of the dock from the back of it anyway, showing the various connections it's going to have and stuff. But no word yet about the price or the launch date.
Okay, yeah, I saw the. Wow, that's a big tight screen. 7 inches. Wow.
Yeah, it's the same size screen as on the OLED Nintendo Switch.
Oh, okay. Cool. Oh, there it is.
But it isn't OLED, so it doesn't look as nice.
Okay. So
And also, only the 512 gig model has the etched screen, the anti-glare. So I don't know
okay.
what the glare is like on the cheaper ones. Well, in the long run, what I think would be interesting is if Valve, because Valve are talking about working with a bunch of different companies and stuff, and I think it'd be interesting if they maybe leased or licensed technology so that you could maybe, in a theory, in the future, you could get like other companies like Samsung or Dell or whoever, like other companies that would otherwise, either not bother with one or try to build a competitive one that, might get crowded out, basically just build their own licensed version of the Steam Deck so that you'd have a broad variety of companies that would make it available, and then you'd still be following the same ecosystem in that sense.
I've heard, well, so far what I've heard about the Steam Deck is that the hardware is solid. It's good. It's there. It is what it needs to be. The problem is software. There's certain things that need to be resolved, which I'm assuming will be resolved after from bug reports and so forth. Because it's basically the people who got it right now, it's basically in a beta. They have early access to it because of most people won't probably have access to it until later this year, possibly even, more at fall versus, summer. But yeah, that's the one thing.
They did actually post a right.
Only thing I was going to say is that when it comes to the SFB Online client on the Steam Deck, and that is. The reason why I brought up previously was like Skype or something like that is that I would think you wouldn't want to try to do any chatting, type chat, and because Yes, it will work when you make it into a computer, a regular PC, i.e., put it in a dock, have it on your TV or computer screen, whatever you want to put it connected to. It'll definitely will work in that configuration, period. In a desktop, a true desktop configuration. But if you can, but I think the more interesting perspective is that of having a SMB Online client running on the Steam Deck in handheld mode. Now, it looks like, I think you're right in that it will, when it comes to the mouse, what is the mouse is the trackpads. I'm just wondering if you could configure the joysticks for, as acting as a mouse. Because I can see that to me that's very doable. It's just that, the mouse, you have to set how fast that the cursor is going to move based on the joystick, faster or slower. I'm not sure. When it comes, I'm assuming that the joystick is variable rated, meaning, that it knows whether you pushed it a little bit or a lot, versus just like more of a switchy, which is whether it's, have you pushed it to the left, yes or no, versus, have you pushed it little to the left, or you push it all the way to the left. I'm assuming that it's variable, because Lord knows I don't think anything these days is just a switch, on off switch, for when it comes to that kind of thing. And if it is.
They should be just analog sticks, yeah. There's actually even, if you're having an issue in the future, apparently there is a way to get the thing open and replace it. But I guess they want you to send it to a professional to do that, whatever. But it's because there's been all the issues with Joy-Con drift on switches and stuff. And with the Joy-Con, you can actually, you don't have to send the whole switch away, the switch light. But with the Steam Deck, I guess they've kind of like, so far they're not being too much worried about that, but they have been clear in terms of if it does become an issue in the future, that you won't be too badly off.
Okay, cool. Okay. I got the trackpads playing PC games that were never designed for a handheld, will increase precision and customization. Trackpads are also given a competitive edge, but whatever. Okay, so definitely wasn't, if it wasn't designed for handheld, you could use the trackpads. Look at this from my thumbsticks. Right. Okay, so I don't see anything mentioned about that. I might have to look at one of the reviews about the thumbsticks. Because, as I said, I think that'd be really cool if. If you could use a thumbsticks for as a mouse, because in that case, if you could do that with a Steam Deck when it comes to the online client, I think that actually would be quite usable overall. Because, though there are certain things that have to be a little, well. Yeah, the tough part would be click and drag, because, well, there are two thumbsticks. So if you can configure it, well, depends upon how you want to configure the controls. Because you could have it so that you hold down like either the right or left buttons. And then use the thumbstick to move the mouse. So it'd be like a click and drag. So you click, you hold down like R, and then you the thumbstick. Then you just move the thumbstick. So
Well, I guess
you.
if they're able to in the next few months get some of the like some strategy games on there, like Total or Civilization 6 or something like that running on it, because apparently Civ 6 doesn't run right now, but I don't know if anyone's tried Total War games either, but presumably, like, if they show, they demonstrate how the thumb pads are being, the touch pads are being used for those games, like, if you're, like, selecting multiple units and stuff, then maybe that would carry over, so. But I guess the other thing, too, is because it's a touchscreen, would that be a functionality that would be usable for the client or not?
Huh. The question is, at the moment, you know, how will it deal with a touchscreen with a desktop interface?
Yeah.
Because of, if there's, I'm not sure what kind of, if using the touchscreen requires integration with, like, their API. Because I'm not sure how that's implemented at all. Because I'm assuming it's Steam Deck, in that case, is something like the Nintendo Switch or the PlayStation 5 or the Xbox. In that each one has their own APIs when it comes to how they handle controllers. So, you know, touching on this, or I'm just thinking about also iPad versus, you know, a Mac. Because I forget if, I'm just thinking about WebKit and Safari, you know, and what kind of special things it has built in for if you're touching the screen in Safari to see if it does anything special. I don't remember if it does or not. But of course, I'm assuming it has to. Yeah, that it can be definitely, since the iPad can do it. I see no reason why Steam Deck couldn't do it, which is simulating the mouse presses. You know, when you touch the screen, the mouse, it's like clicking on a mouse at that that location.
It is interesting to see how are you still? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking it's interesting to see how Unix-based systems are becoming so widespread now, because, like, the current Mac OS is Unix-based, and Android is based on Linux, and now with Steam Deck, it's
right.
Increasing the scope of Linux gaming. So it seems that those family of operating systems are certainly, getting more attention than ever before.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. The funny part is, I've heard so many. You know, I'm not sure you hear, because I do this because I'm involved. I've listened to the open source community a lot, and one thing, of course, is them screaming, "Oh, this is the year of the Linux desktop!" It's like, guys, back up. Linux is one of the most popular, is the basically the operating system for so many handheld devices, because of course Android is Linux based, you know, runs on Linux. So how many millions, if not billions of devices are there out there that are running Android? You know? Probably just millions. Don't get me started thinking about that whole situation with supply chain and minimum resources and all this kind of thing when it comes to electronic devices, you know. Actually, that was the one thing I must admit, it was kind of interesting hearing. I was listening to a podcast from 2 weeks ago, and one thing that came up was, of course, buying cars, because this is car segment of the podcast. And anyway, the one thing that I found interesting is that unlike Europe, the United States, people are used to basically buying cars on demand. That is, they walk into a dealership, say, I want, you know, drive that car. I want that car. Sign the papers and take it home. While in Europe, you go, yeah, you test drive whatever kind of car you want. Then you go in, sign the papers, place your order for that car, and then a few months later or whatever, you'll have a car. But, you know, but that's increasingly because of the pandemic and the supply chain shortages, you know, that's becoming more of the norm these days. Now, one of the YouTube people I follow, they were just talking, they talked about how, you know, people are complaining about all this awful, awful markups. No. The reason why the dealer has those insane markups, and they have it in the line item of what it is, basically. I forget what they call it. I think transportation fee or something crazy like that, where, you know, a car that's going for $30,000 can have a $20,000 transportation fee. And that's basically because of the dealers don't want to sell those cars. They want you to go walk in the door, place your order, and then, you know, wait for your car to come in, and then you get your car then. Because of they need that car on the lot as a show car so people can actually drive and test drive the car the kind of car they want. But then you can go in, you can place the order, and you don't have that transportation fee, you know. So,
well, I know that but apparently it seems that countries that have right-hand drive, they're having even more issues. There's not that many countries that are right-hand drive that are also major manufacturers, like Japan is one,
mm-hmm.
and the UK has a number of ones. But the thing is that Brexit's kind of messed up some of the issues there. And also, like, for example, with Ireland, because Ireland is still in the EU, unlike the UK. But even before Brexit, the price, because, I mean, Ireland has a thing where if you're importing a car rather than buying one that's sold locally,
right,
you have to pay a thing called a vehicle registration tax, which is like an extra 20%. That's on top of the VAT. So,
jeez.
But even actually just getting the car in the first place is tricky because it's more awkward in terms of the various, what's the word? Because the UK went for a hard Brexit, so there's all the tariffs and all that kind of stuff. Because had they gone for like a Norway-style deal, where they would have still been in the European Economic Area, then there would have still been tariff-free issues. But because they chose not to do that, it's more awkward. But yeah, it is interesting how, like, for example, there's certain brands that General Motors owns across Europe. And even if they're the same car, they'll have a different badge on the front. So, for example, Opel is the same as Vauxhall. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the Opel that they make for, like, the German or French audience is left-hand drive.
Right.
But Vauxhalls are made for right-hand drive. But Opels in Ireland are also right-hand drive. So they're already more expensive than continental European ones because they need to be on the same side of the road, the opposite side of the road or whatever. And there's like all that stuff going on. And, the next closest country that has like the same hand drive would be Japan. And, you know, getting cars all the way over from there is economically, that's a bit of a tough ask, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nuts. To be honest, when it comes to Brexit, I'm surprised it actually went through because the whole issue with Ireland, you know, that was interesting in my mind.
Well, I don't want to turn this into Brexit politics online, but to put it this way, the places in the UK that had the most to lose in terms of connecting to the outside world were the ones who were more likely to vote to stay. And ones that kind of felt that they were more, I guess, isolated, either economically or socially, from the outside world, were probably more likely to vote to leave. And so, but yeah, I mean, the thing is that even leaving Brexit to one side, the UK is very, in certain ways, it's quite lopsided, because like England has about 55 million people in it, and even Scotland only has about 5 million. Northern Ireland has about 1.8, and Wales has about 2 or 3 million. And to give you a small example, like if you're ever going over there and you want to use notes like pound sterling notes, there are banks in Scotland and Northern Ireland that print their own sterling notes. And while you're in those places, you can use them. But if you try to bring those to England to use, they'll laugh at you, because they'll only, most of the stores there will only accept Bank of England sterling. And what's funny is that even in North America, that, you know, if you go to a currency exchange, they know this. So, for example, here in Canada, if you, some of the currency exchanges, you'll actually see they'll have entirely separate prices listed if you want to sell them Bank of England sterling compared to Northern Ireland or Scottish sterling, because they themselves know that they're going to get less of use out of the other money than they are out of Bank of England money.
Right.
And if you compare that to the Eurozone, because Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, is in the Eurozone, so our Euro coins, they look different on the back than French or German or other Euro coins, but they spend the same, and the notes spend the same. So if you think about it, on the one hand, you've got over a dozen countries with the same currency that spends across the way. And then right next door, you've got a country with four jurisdictions where two of them can't use the money they print in the other one. Because Wales basically doesn't have its own separate banks, it just uses Bank of England. So, I mean, even, and also because of the fact that a lot of people in England probably don't even realize this, because England is so much bigger, it's basically kind of a world to itself. It's like if the difference between the US and Canada. I mean, Canadians are, just for the fact that the US has 10 times the population, it's relatively rare for Americans, at least ones who don't have family in Canada, to kind of like keep up with that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Canadian side, we're bombarded with American media and so forth. And even if we weren't, I mean, because of NAFTA or whatever you call the current version of NAFTA,
right,
there's so much interconnectedness and so forth. Like it's, you know, so much of it is just like matters directly on a day-to-day basis that it's impossible to escape, basically. So it's like, you know, there's all these kind of things going on as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah. Actually, that brings up a question when it comes to the Steam Deck, which is, okay, since it has, well, that's an interesting question, which I have to look here, and maybe you know, I'm willing to bet you don't, which is, okay, the Steam Deck itself will run both in kind of Steam mode, i.e., you know, this gaming mode where basically you're running a Steam client, then you bring up your games. And then you have desktop mode. Now, the question I have is that when it comes to a web browser, I assume at the moment it's only supported in desktop mode.
Well, like somebody was showing about how to get things like Discord running within the Steam app, but I don't think, because like I think it comes with Google Chrome standard when you're running in desktop mode. But I suppose you'd be able to install Firefox or whatever on there too. But I don't remember if they showed Firefox running on it. But anyway, so because I'm interested in thinking now, because like if you're running Steam on a PC, is there anything in the Steam app that really needs a web browser external to the app rather than just using it separately?
Again, yeah,
I suppose. I don't know.
Well, the reason why I even brought up the question is the whole idea of PWAs, progressive web apps. The idea of instead of actually installing a application itself onto a computer, in this case the Steam Deck, what you basically are doing is you're saving a link to a website, and then that brings up this app. There's usually it's considered a single page web app. where you know you go around and different things. And I'm like willing to bet like Discord is the same kind of idea overall. You know, it's not supposed to go from page to page to page to page. It's just one. It's like an application that runs within the browser itself. And the reason why I bring that up is
kind of like Google, all the Google Sheets and whatever you call the Google, that's a word processor, like those kind of things.
You mean Google Docs?
Yes, because I mean, technically, you're not actually installing anything from Google, except from Chrome itself or whatever up your web browser you're using,
right,
onto your computer. You're basically just accessing the cloud or
right, exactly. Because of obviously that would be another way of getting a quote unquote application onto the Steam Deck is through, you know, basically PWAs, which would be interesting.
Well, the only thing with that is that the Steam Deck is designed to be portable. So if you're out and about, you can't really play the client offline anyway. So forget I said that. But I suppose when it comes to, never mind. Although I suppose when it comes to playing like Starfleet Command or whatever, it would be kind of it'd be unfortunate if you were stuck being online all the time playing a game that's designed to be offline. So,
agreed. Yeah, jeez. Because I'm just thinking about it for a moment. Because of the interesting part. In my mind, when it comes to web browsers and you know and progressive web apps and Steam Deck, is obviously it's one way of getting an application on it, but also it's a different screen size because it's in theory it's mobile, but you know the dimensions are kind of weird. Though I guess you know PDWs have already been handling things like that for like. iPads or other or the Samsung Galaxy Tab or things like that, you know, they've already been dealing with that, so I guess this wouldn't be that strange to deal with the Steam Deck with Google Chrome. And PWAs, that is. Yeah, because that's the reason I bring up PWAs at all is I know you don't know that much about Starfleet Warlord, Gary, but those who are in my audience that actually know about Starfleet Warlord, you know, we've had Derek, working on. On the Starfleet Warlord client, which is basically a PWA, you know, it's a progressive web app. You know, it's been long in coming because actually it's not just front end; it's also back end work too that they have to do, and it's been slow coming. So, one thing I was thinking about doing because I've had issues. In the past, and I think I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again anyway. And that is the idea of just a quick and dirty progressive web app, which allows people that are away from their computers. They still have their smartphones. They still have their tab. They might have a tablet with them, but they don't have their computer with them. And so I was thinking about creating a Starfleet Warlord, you know, a quick and dirty aid. So if somebody wants to, they can say, okay, here, just upload my my orders, you know, upload the turn. It loads up that and says, okay, enter your orders. And then you can, at that point, you can, when you're all done, then you can submit your orders. And I thought that'd be a cool idea for those, because I know, because I got at least, well, I have one person on vacation this week from the game. I know that, who is it? Oh, Roger Reardon is going to be doing the same thing, not this week, but I think maybe next week, where he's going to basically just read the orders, and then he's going to submit the orders via email. Yeah, he's going to send me an email with the orders in it. So that will be interesting for that. But the thing is, if while people are away from the computers, if they could do that, I think a lot of them would love to take advantage of. Even if it didn't have all the really cool features that Derek is work, not Derek, Dirk, that's it, Dirk is working on, you know. So thought it was just something interesting, because actually I did started working on a little bit. I need to read up on some tutorials on how to do it some more, because I'm trying to learn some JavaScript frameworks so that I can more easily do this stuff instead of doing 100% by hand. Because I already did a little bit of an SMB online client. You know, got a SSD. So you can see an SSD. I've got a board. I've got, I don't think I have an EA per se. But you know, I have certain parts of the client. There's still a lot of work to do when it comes to that portion. But it's kind of cool, you know. Anyhow, actually, why don't we wrap it up there? Because I only have a few more minutes left, and I don't think it's kind of pointless to try to stretch it, as they say. But Gary, it's been
two final things. If I can take one last moment off you.
Yes.
One is, if you're going to be going over SFB rules in the future, I wonder if you might consider at some point down the line getting around to the heavy water store rules, because it's interesting to see the kind of like configurations and so forth that both exist in and of themselves in terms of how they're implemented for the various Alpha Auction Empires, specifically for the Federation, because you know with their insistence on not using fast patrol ships, but also in terms of how those configurations have been converted to other game systems, such as Federation Commander or Federation Empire.
Okay, so you do want me to focus on the patrol, PFs?
Oh, no. I think like on the rules for the modular rules for heavy war destroyers.
Oh, heavy war. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a piece of work right there. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's one of those rules sets that I have read through, and that's all I can say about it. Because when they first came out, the whole idea about heavy war destroyer with this configuration, the way you can configure these things, was interesting. But at the same time, it's like, okay, we never, in any of the times we actually played, did we actually use the heavy war destroyers? I think part of that reason was just because of, by the time I got the heavy war destroyers came out, I was rare that I actually played a fleet battle. Most of the time, I was just playing tournament ships at that point. Now, when it comes to the SFB Online, at the moment, it's actually, there's quite a few people that actually are running campaigns on, you know, SFB Online, which is always great to see, because then you have all these different empires that are being played, including some of the Omegas. So it's fine. No one currently is using Federation Commander for doing their campaigns, which actually it would be interesting, because I'm just thinking about it. There was a Federation Commander campaign, somebody has written up. I have to double check it, because what I want to do is go back to the PHP BBS, the one for Federation Commander. It's on federationcommander.com. That one. You know, not the old Discuss bulletin board. But yeah, I think it was Patrick Hill.
You don't necessarily need to use. Sorry, I was just going to say. I think we've discussed it before on the PD, on the UBS, but here, but you don't necessarily need to have a fleet battle to use a different heavy war destroyer configuration, because we were discussing in the past about how you can use either a fast patrol ship variant or an F-11 carrier variant as a single ship to hunt Andromeda and rapid transit network nodes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. But ships like that overall, yes, you can do some duels and things like that, but those would be, in my mind, special scenarios that you might want to play out. You don't really, it is a rare thing indeed that you have someone to say, you want to play, this is how many BPV I've got, this is how much BPV you get to pick out, you get to pick your ships. That's a very rare thing to actually happen, at least online. Now, I've heard about that when it comes to people playing in person, but not as much online. Because normally it's a few possible options. One is, other than Finnish Commander, because Finnish Commander, yes, that one would be the one where you'd actually see the most, random fleet battles. But, the Finnish Commander games are very far and few between versus SFB games on the online client. So that's why, the rare time that you actually would see a heavy war destroyer would be in a campaign. Battle, that is. Mm-hmm. So, and definitely that's. Trust me, I will hit that, and I will go through those rules because they're. I agree, they're very interesting and maybe discuss the idiosyncrasies of. Rules and how they show up on the different engines, basically. I always forget what it stands for, which is the ACTA SF. I forget. Call to arms. Thank you. Darn. I keep forgetting that abbreviation. I always, the problem is that no one calls it a call to arms. Whenever anyone refers to it, it's always ACTA, ACTA. So that's why I have a hard time remembering a call to arms. But anyway.
Well, I guess if you are doing heavy war destroyers, the video portion might be helpful because there's a lot of the Shapewave miniatures for the non-X technology heavy war destroyers are on there. So you'd be able to, and many of them actually mark out where the various non-weapon option boxes and other kind of things are, so you can actually get a better sense of how these things will be implemented engineering-wise.
Agreed. Well, Gary, it's been a pleasure having you around. Don't be a stranger.
Have a good night.
Okay, you too. Whatever. I'm going to have to trust that he's not going to talk. Okay, I can't mute Gary, so hopefully Gary will just be quiet. But anyhow, have a nice little discussion there. A little sidetrack from the initial discussion that was planned, but I think it was a great discussion about the Steam Deck and the possibility of running the online client and different ways you could do it. Because I think overall, it depends upon how the Steam Deck actually implements, how the game controllers themselves, whether it is on screen or the thumbsticks or the trackpads, is desktop going to be have basically the in desktop mode, are the thumbsticks can be disabled, so you can't use them for mice. Are they actually going to be able to be used as mice? You know, use a thumbstick to move it around, and then use that to, you know, move the mouse cursor, and then you click whatever it is for holding button down, and then dragging it, so that kind of thing. You know, or they just go say, okay, it's limited to the trackpad. Don't know. I'm sure there's something that is being worked on. And that's one of those software things that I'm sure that if I'm willing to bet you that most people, when it comes to desktop mode, they're gonna want to have it so that the thumb, well, I can't say most. At least some people are going to want the thumb controllers. Because the question is how, I know that it's only a 7-inch screen, but you're still going to do quite a few things on a 7-inch screen. Or is desktop mode going to be, you know, really focusing on the large screen experience? You know, in which case it's going to assume that in desktop mode you've plugged in your keyboard, you've plugged in your mouse or connected via Bluetooth, whatever, and you're using it that way. So, I guess we will find out in the future, because, you know, the Steam Deck just came out in beta. There's only a few people, select people, that actually have it. But, you know, there's quite a few more people that want it, and they've already put in their $100 down and saying, okay, I want to reserve my spot, and I want it as soon as possible. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.